And now, lot 304. An original watercolour, The Rocks, Charles Rennie Mackintosh. Very unusual. What am I bid?
I was born in Glasgow. My mother was a woman of character. My father was the captain of the Glasgow Police tug-of-war team, champions of the world, and the best gardener on Firth Park Terrace. We lived by the big graveyard, so I went down from a flat full of flowers, through the tombs and crazy obelisks, into our smoking city. And under a sun of indifference, my tree of ambition grew.
The Immortals by Robin Brooks. The offices of Honeyman and Kepi, architects, 1889.
Mr. Mackintosh is joining us as junior draftsman.
Morning, Mr. Honeyman. Ella, ma chérie, fetch me some coffee.
Mr. Mackintosh comes to us from our friends on St. Vincent Street, where he served his apprenticeship.
Morning, sir.
McNair, you're a little behind your time. Well, you know, this won't do.
Sorry, Mr. Honeyman.
Mr. Mackintosh will have his desk next to yours, McNair. You must set him a good example.
McNair.
Mackintosh.
How do you do?
Now then, do you have an initial?
CR, sir.
Jolly good. McNair, Mr. Honeyman is forbearing, but I am not, be warned.
Yes, Mr. Kirby. Sorry, Mr. Kirby.
That's not quite the right spelling, sir.
What?
It's not M small c capital I, it's capital M-A-C-K...
Oh, I beg your pardon. That's what I was given.
I've changed it, sir.
You've changed it?
Yes, sir.
Very well.
Ella!
Mon amour, we must alter this.
Don't mind caring. He's not a bad sort, really.
Oh, aye. What's all the French for?
He won a prize and went to Paris for a year.
Oh, eh?
Bien sûr. I'm Bertie, by the way.
Call me Toshi. How do you win these prizes, then?
John! It's John! Oh, Mr. Honeyman, John left his umbrella. Oh,
Miss Kepi, let me help you.
Sorry, come on,
please. Who's that?
Kepi's sister.
Who the man?
Well, you know, Mr. Kepi is busy at the moment.
So it looks so threatening this morning.
I'll see that he gets it. Mackintosh.
Sir?
Would you give Miss Kepi a hand with her parcels? And where are you going, my dear?
Oh, no, just to the down to the art school. Oh.
And let me.
Oh, thank you. Perhaps we might go a little quicker. Have you hurt your foot?
I'm afraid it's always been no good. I was born with it.
Well, I'm so sorry. Shall we stand under here a minute?
You should have left me and kept the umbrella.
Oh, it's not far.
It takes me 15 minutes from Bath Street.
Do you know the school?
I attend classes there.
I've never seen you.
I attend the working men's... the evening classes.
Oh, I see. It's so nice to have a hobby, I think.
It's not a hobby, Miss Kippy.
But aren't you working for my brother's firm?
Just because I'm a draftsman, that doesn't mean I can't be an artist. I'd like to be both. Do you think that's asking too much?
Oh, no. Of course. Do you think the rain is slackening?
The harvest moon. You're looking at the moon, but from a low angle, and there's a kind of unearthly atmosphere. Standing in the moon is a winged figure. She's a figure of fancy, but she's all nice and carefully drawn in the best South Kent style. Below her runs a band of cloud. Look closer. I've hidden another figure in the cloud. You can just make her out. She lies on her back, her upflung elbows silhouetted against the moon, her hand covering her face, and the rest of her naked body stretching away in a tangle of suggestive lines. I copied her from Cabanel's Birth of Venus. This is before I'd even met the Immortals. It's as though I was waiting for them, and the two women, one of them upright, pure, spiritual, the other naked, recumbent, hidden, somewhat prophetic.
The Alexander Thompson Studentship Prize Winners Lecture, 1893.
How did I do?
You looked wonderful. The jacket suits you and the tie. Just let me...
Jesse?
Tosh, I'm fearfully proud of you. You know I am. You look just the thing. Now, come over here. I want you to meet some of my classmates, Frances and Margaret.
Mm. Hello, Mr. Mackintosh. We've heard a lot about you.
And from you now.
Did you not enjoy my talk?
You don't seem to have liked the Italians all that much.
Yeah, they were all right for a set of dirty loafing blackguards.
It's a very nice jacket, though. Your prize money hasn't been entirely wasted.
Jesse bought this.
Bertie, can I introduce you? This is Mr. McNair.
Hello.
I've seen you at the art school club.
Tosh drags me along.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
You look very well in artistic dress, Mr. McIntosh. I think it suits you better than your professional clothes.
Did anybody hear what I said? Were you all so busy examining my tailoring? Perhaps if I delivered my lecture without any clothes at all, I would have had more attention.
I'm sure all the young ladies here would deny that.
Like the immortals, you mean?
What's Jessie been saying?
Just the name. I don't know what it all means.
Guess, then.
You want to live forever?
We are a group of young women who take our art seriously. We want to produce new things that will last. Do you find that ridiculous? Or do you believe that female art students should lie about on sofas having girlish vapours over Tennyson while waiting for some fine, upstanding man to come and give them babies? I find that ridiculous.
Don't you want a family?
I do, very much. I want children, I want fame, I want love, I want everything. Except polite conversation. I see I shall have to do without that just at the moment. Excuse me.
Wasn't he good?
Very interesting. Different. Jessie, perhaps you oughtn't to make too much of him. Not in public, at least.
Oh, why ever not?
Mr. McIntosh is an employee.
John, don't be so stuffy.
These things must be observed. He won't feel comfortable to be out of his place.
Rubbish! He's a friend. There's no harm in that. We're all friends together, that's all.
The Glasgow School of Art, 1894.
Don't you like it?
I don't think it should be in the exhibition. But a picture like this is not a safe guide for the young to follow. Miss Kepi, I hope your stories have not been infected by the vile atmosphere in this painting. Rawson told me that it gave him nightmares. He said one of his fellow judges had been made ill by them. Well, I thought he was exaggerating, but now I realize that he was not. It's hideous. Spectral. It's grotesque. To see the female form treated like this, it's like a vile caricature of the wholesome pre-Raphaelite beauty. It's disgusting. What man could treat young womanly beauty in this way?
It wasn't a man, sir.
Then who was it?
Jessie, Newbury's going to put it by the door so they can see what all the fuss is about.
May I introduce you to Miss Margaret MacDonald and her sister Frances? This is Mr. Honeyman.
Do you like my sister's painting, Mr. Honeyman?
I find it most stimulating. Is your work informed by some kind of theory?
Do we have a theory, Maggie?
We have no basis, sir, nor do we adhere to any theory.
I rather like Burne Jones.
I would never have guessed. This is not a portrait of a new woman.
It is not even the work of one.
McIntosh.
Hello, sir.
You're an art school student, aren't you?
After a fashion, sir.
Well, what do you make of this?
I remember the first time I saw her painting. I remember the shock of it. It's called The Path of Life.
A naked girl stands between two others. They're offering her a choice. They represent art and self-interest.
But it's the way she drew the female body. No one had done that before.
It's stylized, wildly elongated, almost ugly, like weird ancient Egyptian work.
Margaret did this. She and Frances were very close in their work, instantly recognizable. But this was Maggie's. It was as though they were drawing out of their own bodies, their own desires. So bold, daring. I'd never seen anything like it. I loved it.
Toshi?
It's all right.
All right.
Miss Kepi, I must have a word with your brother, if you'll excuse me.
Maggie, honestly.
What?
That was John's senior partner. You don't have to be so high and mighty. It's just a picture. Maggie was fearfully rude to Mr. Honeyman.
She was not. He was rude about her painting.
Honeyman's all right.
Everything's all right, isn't it?
Frances?
Why shouldn't it be?
Come on, Tosh, Mr. Honeyman's going. We should say goodbye.
McIntosh, the competition designs. Mr. Honeyman would like a look now. Would you bring them through?
Yes, Mr. Kepi.
Oh, Honeyman wants to look.
You're not jealous, are you, Bertie?
You could spend your life entering competitions and never get a sniff.
Here they are.
Oh, wonderful. Marvelous. Really unusual. By the way, do you play golf?
No.
Oh, pity.
My foot.
Oh, of course, I'm sorry.
Is that what you wanted to...
No, no, no. Mr. Honeyman wants to join us in a moment. He's with a client. I think I can say he's very pleased with what you've done. We both are very pleased.
Good.
He'll be here in a minute. I think I can tell you that he's intending to give you an opportunity. But we should wait. By the way, I'm to pass on an invitation to dinner. Jessie is cooking supper tonight. Can you come?
I'd be delighted.
That's splendid. You'll have to eat it, though, whatever it is.
Faint appetite never won, fair lady.
Oh, that's the spirit.
Oh, this is an honour. Haven't seen you for weeks.
The Glasgow Herald wants a new building on Mitchell Street. I'm to do it.
To get a raise?
That... Fire is always a hazard in a newspaper building, so it had to have a water tank. I put it in a tower. I made the tower bulge out so that it looked slightly, well, phallic. And I put elongated carvings down the angles of it, like elephant's trunks, ready to spray out onto passers-by.
So, we won't be seeing any more of you.
Of course you will. I'm on holiday for August. Only Mr. Keppy's invited us up to his place in Dunure for a few days.
Oh, aye, his place in Dunure. That's very sociable. And who's we? You and Jessie?
A whole group of us. Bertie and the girls.
The girls? And how many girls is that, then?
One or two. Her art school chums.
Listen to me, Charlie boy. You watch yourself. I had to pull myself up by my bootstraps to get us out of Parson Street.
Spare me the workhouse stories.
You think you can swagger a boot with a gaffer's sister on your arm and the plums will just fall into your lap? Well, you watch your step. These people can pick you up and they can drop you.
You don't understand. They need me. I'm good.
It came easily. Lots of decorative features, not quite conventional, not quite appropriate. Negative architraves, floating keystones. I was feeling my way, experimenting, showing off. My talent growing, budding, starting to cry out for recognition.
Dunure, summer, 1895.
Maggie. Mm-hmm. What do you think of him?
He's very good looking, isn't he? If you like those dark Highland looks.
I like the moustache.
Ah, and the clothes. He looks quite satanic sometimes, if you catch him off guard.
Satanic?
The droopy eye and the limp.
Bertie?
Bertie? No, I thought...
Maggie?
What? I thought you were talking about Macintosh.
I'm doing a design for a stained glass window. Summer. I draw one of our plant women, stylized, elongated, naked. She comes straight out of me. She is me. I'm standing on tiptoe, my feet springing from a seed pod. Leafy forms from other seeds curl upwards with me, and from my hand drip tiny purple blossoms. Across my shoulders fly a line of swallows, and my head is haloed by the sun. In the orb of the sun crouches a man. He leans down to me. He puts an arm round my shoulders. He is drawing me into an embrace, passionate, erotic, holding my mouth to his. I am offering myself to him. Who is he? He's the sun god. He's warmth, life, regeneration. Why does he look like Macintosh?
You are shackled to tradition. What you do is just make up a scrapbook out of buildings of the past, mouldy old buildings. A bit here, a bit there.
I want to do something of my own, something personal. Ruskin says...
There you go, another lump of mould. Isn't he dead yet?
He says go to nature.
Can't you think for yourself?
He says architecture should tell us about nature.
I would rather speak my own thought in my own language from my own body and my own soul.
Oh, Maggie, it's too hot.
Ruskin says...
Toshy!
Nothing he says could possibly interest me.
He says that to think you have no spiritual nature is base, and to think you have no animal nature is foolish. Great art has to be both. So for me, architecture and building are soul and body. Do you see? He thinks like you. He just puts it better.
Only you two, please. Can't you just stop arguing? Just... Ah! Ah! Touch my dress! My bonnet!
Please, Mr. McNair, could you restrain your colleague? He is assaulting an
animal. I'll give you lumps of mould.
No, don't tickle me, please.
Lumps of mould.
Just let go.
I'll take you both on, one hand behind my back.
Mr. McNair, restrain your colleague.
In the whole art, there is no greater crime than to touch with impropriety the sacred body of an immortal. However...
Oh, body, you prude!
Toshi,
Jane, leave Maggie alone. Stop it.
Sorry.
What were you thinking of?
Sorry.
Maggie, I'm so sorry. I don't know what.
It's time they faced initiation.
Their understanding is imperfect.
The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Initiate them.
Initiate them.
First, you must be blindfolded.
Oh, yes.
Stand still.
Then, you must be...
disorientated.
Oh. Turn them twice.
Turn them twice.
All hail Macintosh. All hail McNair. Thou shalt be kings hereafter. Now you must wait.
Toshi.
Abba.
If there's anything I can ever do for you, old man, don't hesitate to ask.
Enjoying yourself?
My only problem is, which sister? They're both...
yes.
Striking. Svelte. Quite well off, I think.
Talented.
Some of those watercolours. I don't know what to say to you, but I know what they say to me.
Margaret's a good woman. She'll make someone a good wife.
But Frances...
she is, eh? Don't ask me, I'm taken.
Bring them forward.
Whoa, careful.
Hold them there.
In the lap of every maiden lies a living thing.
Oh, does it?
Initiates must be respectful.
A living plant plucked from the earth.
Those who wish to join our order and...
And dedicate themselves to art must choose...
by touch.
...their true symbol.
A sort of vegetable blind man's buff, is it?
Who's first? Me? All right. Here goes.
Ow!
Thistle. Emblem of our proud country. Not that, Apple. Knowledge. Usefulness. Adam and Eve. And... what's this? A rose. Love, beauty, art, immortality. I choose the rose.
But...
Margaret!
My apple. You were supposed to choose my apple.
But how...
You said, Ruskin says, the apples of the Hesperides. The golden apple!
How was that? Oh, hell.
You better go after her.
What's going on? Is it my turn now?
I just found Jessie crying her eyes out behind a hedge.
Oh, John, we were just playing a silly game. I hurt her feelings.
I thought you'd be looking after her.
I am very sorry, truly. There was no malice. It just went wrong.
What game?
A sort of plain man's buffer. I caught the wrong girl.
Oh, I see. Bad luck?
Yes, it was.
Since our parents died... I've had to be in loco parentis for Jessie.
Of course.
I've had to keep an eye out for her, keep her out of trouble. I wouldn't like to think...
I'm not that sort.
Oh, I'm sure you're not. I don't want you to think that your junior position in the firm is in any way a drawback to, so long as your intentions towards my sister are...
Yes.
And anyway, given time...
Yes, I'd better go and...
Yes, of course.
Tosh.
Yeah?
Are you asleep?
No.
I'm going out for a little while.
Where are you going?
To do a bit of sketching.
Bazzy, it's nearly midnight.
A certain young lady has expressed a wish to be drawn on the beach by moonlight. Au naturel, mon ami.
There is no moon tonight.
I know there isn't. I didn't mention it because I didn't want to disappoint her.
Bertie, which young lady?
Hardly honourable to mention her name. Since it's you, Miss McDonald.
Bertie, which one?
Oh. Jessie, who's that?
It's Maggie.
Oh, I thought...
Jessie's asleep. Unlike everyone else, it seems.
What are you doing out here?
I might ask you the same thing, Mr. McIntosh.
I was looking for Bertie.
I was looking for Frances.
Ah.
She went out. I was worried. It is rather late.
I think she's meeting Bertie. I think they... they must have agreed to meet on the beach.
I see.
Do you mind?
She's very headstrong. We've always let her have her own way.
I think Bertie is to be trusted. Of course, any man in such a situation might take advantage.
Would you?
Not with Frances.
Oh. Who then? No, don't
feel you have to answer that.
If you are worried about her, perhaps we ought to go and look for them.
To be honest, it's not Frances I'd be worried for.
Bertie? Is that you?
Frances?
I've brought a rug. Let's get out of the wind. Did you bring your sketch pad?
Oh, there's no moon.
Then how did you intend to draw me?
By touch.
And now it's time for your true initiation.
I thought we'd done that.
No, no, the rites performed this afternoon were merely to admit you to the first level of our order. You've not yet penetrated its inner secrets.
And how do I do that?
You have to be careful.
You can't be too careful. Oh, what's that?
Magic potion.
What is it?
Only a little, just a spoonful. That's all you need. Here, let me.
Oh.
Now me.
And you what?
Now you put your arm around me and we lie back and look up at the stars.
And?
Here they are.
They're asleep.
No, we're not. Come and lie down.
How's Herbert?
Absolutely fine.
I have corrupted him, but he likes it. Do sit down.
You better give that to me.
What is it?
Laudanum.
We weren't going to have any more. Do you want some? Would you like some, Totty?
Won't it make me sick?
I am absolutely fine.
Just have a taste, just to see. Are you going to be one of us, Totty?
Mm.
You should be. Maggie thinks so, don't you, Maggie?
Be quiet, Frances.
No one else is talking. Someone has to say things. You don't say much, do you, Tosh?
We are Highlanders. I was taught to keep my eyes open and my mouth shut.
Oh, hoots, man. Just have a taste.
Very well.
Maggie?
Go on, then.
That's a good girl. I'm going to swim. Bertie?
I'm game.
Are you sure?
We won't go out far. We shan't drown. We shall frolic in the foam like nymphs and satyrs.
We don't do this very often. It makes us feel closer to things. Shapes, colours.
I know. Like being drunk. I draw when I'm drunk. Stay up all night doing it. It seems to free the fancy. When I've had enough, I feel as though I can see things growing. Roots twining, stems thrusting up. The force of the sap, the form of the petal.
Yes.
Oh, it's freezing!
Your sister is quite a girl, isn't she?
And I'm the serious one, is that it? We're serious about you. We think you have a gift. We think you deserve to be nurtured.
All right.
Come in, it's lovely!
And then the prince and princess sped away, away over the bright sea to strange and distant beautiful lands, there to spend a most enchanting honeymoon.
Oh, pardon me, I'm dreadfully sorry. It's very nice, Jessie.
You ought to think about getting your little stories published.
Toshi, did you...
I'm sorry, I did enjoy it.
He's got the marmalade. Bertie?
Sorry, here.
What is the matter with everyone this morning? You all look worn out.
The wind kept me awake all night. Didn't it keep you awake?
I didn't hear any wind.
Toshi, have you seen the studio? There's a write-up on the Herald building.
Is it favourable?
It's very favourable. It's not strictly accurate.
You would say that.
But it's very complimentary. The whole design has an unusually original artistic taste. And the work has been carried out by one John Kepi, I.A.
Show me.
Can you believe it?
It doesn't mean anything.
Well, it must be a mistake.
Morning, everyone. Any kippers left?
I see, Kepi.
Bertie.
Look at this.
Bertie, drop it.
What is it?
We've got a review in the studio, see?
Ah, yes.
Actually, who was responsible for the design of the Glasgow Herald?
You know as well as I do.
Do you have any idea why the review ascribes the work to Mr. John Kepi, I.A., instead of Mr. McIntosh?
Yes, of course. Customarily, the partners' names are given. It's professional practice. Everyone does it.
It's such a nice day. Perhaps we should go for a walk.
Yes, let's.
Then why isn't it Honeyman and Kepi?
Are you coming, Toshi?
The responsibility for the work falls on my shoulders. That is why my name appears.
Toshi?
Yeah, come on, Bertie.
What about Honeyman?
Mr. Honeyman is in semi-retirement. You know that. He will inevitably be leaving us sooner or later.
Perhaps he's not the only one.
Really, McNair, if you have another offer of work, I shan't stand in your way.
How can you lie down under that? It makes my blood boil.
He doesn't mean anything by it. It's just the way of the world.
And it's not a world I want to be part of. Maggie, could you bear it?
I don't know.
I'd rather starve than slave for the likes of him.
You must remember, Toshi has a problem of loyalty.
Do you think I put up with all of this because of Jesse?
Yes.
Oh, it's all right for you. You've got money behind you. I've got to work for a living. I have to get on. There are things I must do. I have to play the game.
That's an excuse. You don't have the courage of your convictions. You're not going your own way at all. You're letting someone else lead you by the nose.
You snooty little bitch. You sit there making your amateur watercolours with the rest of the young ladies, and you think you're piercing the heart of things. You have no idea.
Do you want to be an artist? You have to choose freedom of thought and expression, or down on your knees and grovel to tradition, authority and wealth.
Blah, 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 hot air. I haven't got time for all this blethering. I have to put my energies into doing things. I want to build things. I can't do that on my own. As long as he lets me build things in my own way. My work. That's my manifesto.
Well, don't forget to sign your own name at the bottom of it, or someone else might.
Tosh is still a junior draftsman.
But he does a lot of the work, doesn't he? John?
Much of the presentation and design work, yes.
And it's good, isn't it?
He is certainly a very clever man, no doubt about it, but the firm as a whole must be represented by the partners.
Couldn't he be made a partner? One day?
One day, possibly. Jesse, you must understand there are financial considerations. A partnership must be bought. It cannot simply be bestowed. Of course, he might be able to buy his way in gradually. That happens if the work keeps coming in, if he acquires clients of his own and so
because
on.
Because I'd like to think that one day, Toshi and I might... We might... We already have an understanding.
I have spoken to him on the subject. I am quite satisfied of his intentions. You know, I have no objection in principle, but he must better himself. I don't believe he's in a position to marry.
I don't mind about that.
But I do. I must represent your interests.
But you're saying we can't marry until he's a better position, and you just said that he can't have a better position.
Not at the moment.
But...
Oh, you must be patient. You must wait. Patience and obedience are supposed to be wifely virtues. It won't do you any harm to practice them.
By God, Toshi, what a woman. I can't tell you the half of it.
I'll try to imagine.
You couldn't. You really couldn't. We're thinking of getting married.
Congratulations.
It's my idea. Francis doesn't care.
Really?
In practical terms, we already are man and wife.
I see.
Are you shocked?
I'm not even very surprised.
Good. Have another drink. Huey, two more. We're setting up in business. Francis and Maggie have found a studio on Bath Street. We've got a couple of commissions already. Posters.
Very good.
Maggie wants you to come in with us. We all do. But she's very keen on the idea. She talks about it a lot. Toshi?
What?
How's business? How's old Honeyman? Does he miss me?
Well, you know.
Any competitions?
Oh, we've entered for the new art school building.
You could spend your life entering competitions
and never get a sniff.
I'm not at all surprised we won.
Newbury was always on our side. He taught me at the evening classes.
I don't mean that. I mean your design. It's good. Unusually good. I hope we will see many more. Make my retirement as comfortable as possible, eh?
Yes, sir.
Well, you're allowed to feel pleased with yourself.
John mentions. He says you might think about a partnership.
I can't afford that.
He says you could buy your way in, bit by bit. Apparently some people do it like that.
Yes, they do.
And we might be able to get a little flat somewhere. Oh, Tosh.
Any more champagne?
It's all gone, Bertie. Mm. Hello, Francis.
Congratulations. Tessie, you're looking lovely.
Thank you.
When are you going to name the day?
Oh, what about you and Bertie?
Oh, we'll get round to it one of these days, I expect.
Tessie, I was talking to someone over by the bonfire who publishes things. Stories and things. You should come and meet him.
Who is he?
I can't quite see him. Oh, he's gone round the other side. Let's go and look for him.
All right.
Tosh, you hold the glasses. Won't be a minute.
Maggie,
Hello.
Hello.
Francis and Betty are over there.
I know. Congratulations.
Thank you.
We're looking forward to seeing it when it's built.
I thought you despised the works of Mammon.
I want you to be successful. I want people to see what you can do.
But?
I want you to join us.
How can I do that? When I'm groveling in the dirt to tradition and authority.
You mean, how can you do that when you're marrying the partner's sister?
Why are you doing this? What do you want?
We want you.
I want to be independent. I want to go my own way.
Be an architect, be an artist, be whatever you like, but work with us.
Haven't you realized? I can't just be your workmate. You know it too, don't you? I'd have to be everything.
You can be everything. You can have everything.
How?
Come away from the firelight and I'll show you.
The Lovers. It's a watercolour. I think Bertie did it before we were man and wife. Full of energy and frustration. Savage. Expressionistic. It wasn't about us, though. A couple are embracing, naked, ecstatic. But behind them lurks a stiff-jointed, grimacing female figure with hands brutally thrust forward as though she's trying to destroy the lovers. This grotesque figure is repeated over and over again, silhouetted against the moon, trying to throttle the swooning couple, and on the other side of them. Here she is falling, arms outstretched, into a murky pool at the bottom of the painting. I'd look at that picture and I'd think, poor Jessie.
Now the princess had a noble lover who was only waiting for the king's consent to make her his wife. But one day, the princess was waylaid by two tall, slender, ugly witches. And they had bound her hand and foot and they said to her, "We have your young man in durance. He has forsaken you for us, and we have made him our slave." And they put her in a ring of fire, and she stood alone and helpless, her hair shining in the light of the flames, and the thought came to her, I wish that I may slay these witches. But at this bitter thought, the flames only burned higher, and the witches laughed because they had made the princess sin in her heart, which was now eaten away with jealousy, so that she was as sinful as them.
Is that the end? Jessie?
No.
Go on then.
I can't.
Why not?
It isn't finished.
How does it end?
I don't know. How do you think?
How should I know? It's your story.
It's yours too. I was taught to be obedient, to be good, not to do what those women do. They're sluts. And you, I can't understand you. What have I done to turn you away?
Nothing.
I'm no good then, no comfort, no help. I want to understand what changes you, what excites you. I could do what she does for you if you wanted.
Jessie, it's not like that. Please don't. I can't help it. I love her.
Our flat was the first thing we did together.
We wanted to make each room a work of art.
The bedroom was all white. White carpet, white walls.
We made a four-poster, all white.
I put colour in the curtains.
And I put little stained glass panels into the pillar at the foot of the bed.
They threw coloured light on us as we lay under our white sheets.
We made a mirror to go next to the bed.
A cheval mirror painted white. We gave the wood 5-6 coats of eggshell to last forever. And it had a texture like silk, like skin. You want to stroke it.
The mirror frame carves out like a woman's hip.
Asking to be stroked, touched.
In the top of the frame we put tendril motifs. Buds of pink glass, flower forms, sexual motifs, sensuous, erotic.
Private.
Folded away in that bower of bliss made me feel that we could do anything. Anything.
We could. We did.
The Glasgow School of Art is a masterpiece. He had a very limited budget, and the brief was strictly utilitarian. But it's his great achievement. The front is plain and unadorned, and the window surrounds are unworked. But then there are wrought iron brackets that stand out from the base of the upper windows, and they culminate in flower-like balls of curious, delicate detail, each unique, each with a different meaning. For those who know, it is a wonderful building, inside and out, full of contradictions and mysterious beauty. And it is all his work.
The Glasgow School of Art building site, 1899.
Afternoon, Archie.
Oh, hey, Mr. Kippy.
Any problems?
No, sir. Everything's fine.
Is that well finished?
Aye.
Is there not a cornice to that?
No.
That's unusual. Surely there should be.
You're the man.
Where's Mr. McIntosh?
He went for his lunch.
Lunch? It's 4 o'clock.
It's Friday.
Meaning?
The pub. Is that what you wanted?
Yes. Carry on round like that.
Archie MacLean! What the hell do you think you're playing at?
I've been in a cornice, Mr. McIntosh.
You are you? Is there a cornice in my plan that you noticed?
No, Mr. McIntosh.
There is no cornice there. There is no need for one. A shit-brained half-blind ape can see that it doesn't work.
I've been...
Out! Take it out!
I've been, Mr.
McIntosh. Don't argue! Take it out! Don't ever change my design. I know what's best.
I told Archie to do it.
Kippy, I didn't see you there.
Have you had a good lunch?
What are you doing? Waiting until my back's turned and then mucking about with my work.
Pardon les artisans, s'il vous plaît.
Talk Scots, for God's sake.
If you're not doing your job, then I have to. You went here.
Everything's fine.
It's not. The school board have seen what you did to the porch. They never agree to anything like that. They say if we go over budget, they will not be responsible.
I'll make savings elsewhere.
It was not on the plans. I'm not mucking about. You're doing it yourself.
We're still building it. We're solving problems. If I can see a way to make it better, I will. You can almost spend by accident or because you're incompetent, but never because you can see a way of giving them a better building. It's not fixed. It's not dead. It's a living thing. It grows. It flowers. It should be a beautiful living thing. More beautiful than life itself.
You're drunk, McIntosh.
So what?
I seem more drunk than you do sober. Then see your way to controlling your odd ideas. They are out of place here.
I'll do what I think is best. It's my design.
He had 10 years. He exhibited in Vienna with all those Austrian folk. They thought he was wonderful. He did those tea rooms, very fashionable. One or two houses, the Scotland Street School. Quite a lot of work, for a while. To begin with, they said he was too far ahead of his time. And after a while, they said, it all looks rather old hat now, for Glasgow. When the second phase of the art school opened in 1910, John made a very nice speech on behalf of the architects, Honeyman and Kepi. After that, he had nothing. No, I think he did the inside of a hairdresser's.
The Kepi House, 1913.
Maggie!
Hello.
It's been far too long. What a lovely dress. So unusual. Did you make it yourself?
I hope you don't mind me dropping in like this.
Oh, don't be silly. It's just a pity John's not here. I know he'd like to see you. How's Francis? They had a little boy, didn't they?
Yes. Sylvain.
What an unusual name.
Jess.
But I heard that Bertie went to Canada. Is that true?
Yes, he lost his teaching.
And your parents bought the ticket. That was very kind.
It wasn't a kindness. His drinking was out of hand. They were trying to get rid of him.
Oh, dear.
He's back now.
John says that Toshi might have a little problem that way.
He feels frustrated. He can't help it, Jessie. I have come to ask you for your help. If you could...
Me? How?
He's very low. He just needs something to do. He has so many ideas and they just build up inside him like a head of steam. He doesn't get the work. He gets passed over. I know they don't get on, but I thought if you could speak to John...
How would that help?
There's always been a bitterness between them, but it's been such a long time
since... It doesn't seem long to me. I still don't understand what you want me to do, even if I wanted to.
get John to give him some work.
How can I?
I know it's my fault, but you have to bear a grudge. Even if you hate me, if you loved him...
But he doesn't work for John anymore. He left a month ago. He said he was going to set up on his own. Didn't you know? Has he not told you?
Oh, dear God.
I'm just a glorified housekeeper. I expect that's all I'll ever be, John's housekeeper. But when I look at you, what a mess you've made. All four of you.
Not to tell me! How could you?
Exactly! How could I?
Toshi! How can I help you if you won't...
People talk and talk about their problems. I try to keep my dignity. It's the only thing I have left. Oh. When it goes so deep, how could I bear to talk about it? To be passed by, ignored, ridiculed, old-fashioned.
We mustn't give up. I have faith. Hope.
Like you did for getting a child? It's just a torture.
No. No, no. We'll go away. We need a holiday.
A holiday? Well, that's just what I need. If I leave, I'm never coming back.
Port Vendres, the south of France, 1927.
How's the rock?
I'm gonna get it if it kills me. Is that bench too hard for your delicate bum?
We must answer this man from the Architect's Journal.
You do it. Green. Green on my palette. Where did it come from? I've got this insane aptitude for green. No green on a rock. I'm gonna get this finished today. It's such a lovely morning. I couldn't do a thing yesterday. The wind blew the paper too much. Now I'm in fettle. Monsieur Callure put a whole bottle of wine on the table for lunch and I drank it down half exactly. Demi exactement.
He only wants to ask about present-day architecture.
How can I talk about something that doesn't exist? Do you want to be drawn out of our charming seclusion?
No.
That's my pal. Here, sit with me a moment. I'll be lonely when you go.
Just the one letter. I'll come and fetch you for your tea.
We might sell this.
Let me look. Oh, Tosh, it's good.
My fiercest critic. I'd like to make a little money for you. I wanted to give you so much. We were going to have so many things. Everlasting fame, children, immortality.
Now then.
I'm not complaining. I have you. The rock. £10?
£25 for that at least.
Do you think? I'll give you £12.10. You're half of everything I ever do. Demi exactement.
So write half of this letter.
We've run out of stamps. You can't have any more. You've spent nearly 2 shillings on postage already this week.
Sotheby's, 1975.
An original watercolour, The Rocks, Charles Rennie Mackintosh. Very unusual. And we'll start the bidding at £1,000.
In The Immortals by Robin Brooks.
£1,200, £300, £400,
£500, Toshi was played by Kevin McMonagall and Maggie by Stella Goni.
£2,000, £2,002.
Jesse Kepi, Ashley Jensen, John Kepi, Hugh Ross.
£3,000, with you sir, £3,000.
Francis, Emily Bruni, and Bertie, Gary Bakewell.
£400, £600.
Stuart McGugan played Honeyman, William McIntosh, and Archie.
£400, £600.
The Immortals was directed by Clive Brill and is a Watchmaker production.
And £5,000, £6,000, and £5,000, £7,000.